Hi, I'm James Schillinglaw, and I'm here with David Harris, who's president and CEO of Ensemble Travel Group, the travel agency cooperative that really just had its annual meeting, although albeit virtually. And we wanted to talk to David about how that went, some of the major things that were announced, and kind of the state of his group and his travel agency members amid this crisis. And we have talked to David in the past during the crisis when we all thought maybe we would be not talking this way, maybe even being at Ensemble's conference. But of course, that didn't happen. And now we're all still in virtual format, just as we are here. We're going to find out about all that and more on Insider Travel Report. Now, first of all, David, how are you and where are you?
James, great to see you. Thanks for asking. I'm well. So is my family. I am just a little bit north of Toronto, and I don't think I've ever worked this hard in my life, and that's not complaining at all. I'm so passionate for this business and our industry, and now's not the time to be cowering. Everyone has to step it up. So I hope you're also recovering well from your COVID-19 challenge.
Yeah, thank you very much for asking. I think I've recovered. And if I didn't, and I don't remember something, I just say it's the COVID brain. What can I say? That's how I got to use something as an excuse, right? And not just old age, right? But anyway, I did want to talk to you about this annual conference, this virtual conference that you had earlier this month. And now this was the first time you ever had this virtual conference. How did the conference go, and what's the feedback you've gotten from your members?
Well, thank you for asking. First of all, we had some people say that it should not be done, and others say that it could not be done. And guess what? We did it. Mm-hmm. We had over 1,500 participants, and in our past, our maximum number was consisted of a maximum of about 500 advisors and agency owners. This year we had over 1,200. So we were thrilled with that. Let me make it very clear. This is a supplement and a complement to the live events. It is not a replacement for the live events. But we were honestly thrilled. We are exhausted, but both members, suppliers, the direct messages and the social media response has been phenomenal. We've been very fortunate, and honestly, it was about an ability to pivot. It was about our ability to do something very different for us with a very small and mighty team. We delivered, I think, an exceptional effort. Whether it was perfect or not, I'm sure it wasn't. But nor would a 1,500 in-person event be perfect. So. Overall, we're thrilled, and very much this is going to become something that's routine for our future events as part of them anyways.
So I guess that was anticipate my next question, whether you will, even if you have live events in the future, a live conference, you may still have a companion virtual conference as well, because it obviously can get out to more people and more of your suppliers and more of your members, right?
Yeah, one of the things I think that works really well that helped us with this, James, is that there are those who can't afford either the time away from an office or perhaps the hard dollar costs, and certainly those costs are mitigated. Those challenges, pardon me, are mitigated in an effort like this.
Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you, obviously, most conferences you unveil some new initiatives, you review some of the programs you've had. What did you announce some new programs at this year's conference? And you don't have to do all of them, but give me the top three or four that you think are really going to be significant for your members.
This was very exciting. I'd like to say that while all of these aren't necessarily new, none of them are technically new. I would rather frame them as finally here.
Okay.
We are now where we've needed to be for some time, and we're in the launch mode for initiatives that have been in progress for many years, and we're very excited. So I'll summarize them, I think, in three general buckets. First is that our recovery marketing efforts, although they might be more new than others, are really just a continuation of what we've done for many years. They provide relevant, award-winning campaigns. Mission Restart, Recover Stronger is the name of our new campaign. And among other things, they're exceptionally, they're managed by an exceptionally capable marketing team that has evolved and now includes, digital capabilities with both video and social media content as well. So that's our not in any specific order, but that's number one. Number two, and I think when I referred to something as a little overdue, I guess 11 years is a little overdue, what would be data collection and what we're calling our data monetization center. Mm-hmm. So this is extremely exciting for Ensemble. This area continues to evolve for the entire industry and is imperative for our future success. It's not about playing catch up in this area. In fact, for us, this is about taking the lead. We have literally engaged data scientists, that is their official title, on our team. They're going to generate both opportunities and results for our members, agencies, and suppliers alike. The analytics that are generated will give us the necessary intelligence to be able to deliver at a different level, something at which we've not been able to deliver in the past. And then number three, I know that's new for our members especially is our what we're calling our One Connect platform, which is for air, hotel, and cruise online booking tool that's both B2B and B2C. So the initial rollouts on those are underway now. Mm-hmm. So it's not a promise to deliver. This is something that's in the works, and we're thrilled. It's taken a long time, but we have the capabilities and the support, and we're moving ahead.
No, that sounds great. I know that I'd heard a lot about that. I watched some of the sessions and just wanted to hear from you exactly those. It's a great way to summarize what those three things that I think are really key, the programs that you're introducing and also that are becoming reality, which is a great thing, especially as we head into 2021. And that leads me to another question. What are you hearing from your member agencies? How are they getting through this crisis so far? It's been a lot longer than you and I thought, everyone thought. And what are they most interested in getting from Ensemble in terms of assistance, including some of these programs you're talking about or some of the existing ones?
Frankly, James, I wish the answer was different. We're hearing the same as pretty much everyone at this point. It's unprecedented challenge, and it requires considerable, meaningful support for our members. This is about survival, and that's for all of us, regardless of the vertical. What's very clear to me is that our industry has to act as one voice. So the entire ecosystem for us includes air, hotel, cruise, tour, and of course the agency and consortia distribution arms. And we have to be one voice, we have to be collaborative, we have to be working together to ensure that this does result in our survival. As mentioned in the last answer to your question, we have to continue to be relevant and responsible. It's about the aggregation of all of our offerings. It's not just a single component. It's everything that we do that brings value to our members and consumers alike. There's really no single area that's more important than another. The connection with consumers is high value, and it's important that we provide we provide a templated social media recommendations for our members to utilize. So I think that's been very popular and necessary. It's helped them with the creative side and with the actual product, rolling out of the product. And whether it's marketing or technology, honestly, we focused on is making sure that these are plug and play to the extent that that's possible, and making sure they're offered at a cost point that's basically affordable for agencies as opposed to something that's going to dig too deep into their pockets. So lots of things. This is about the scale of our ability to offer things versus what it would cost agencies to do so on their own.
Now let's talk a little bit on, you know, the question of, have you actually lost agency members during this crisis? I mean, when it first, we last spoke, it was still fairly early on. And the corollary, have you had any new agencies join you? Is there a net gain or loss in members this year so far?
So I'm going to keep this one short and sweet, but basically we've had both some gains and some losses. And overall, our net change in preferred supplier volume is less than 2% using pre-pandemic numbers. So while it's, you know, always disappointing to lose some, it's encouraging to gain some, and, you know, fully understand that change is in the air for everybody right now.
Now, what do you think the strengths of Ensemble are that may have helped you get through this crisis so far?
I think the strength, honestly, has been in the organization, the depth of the talent that we have on the team. I said earlier, small and mighty, and it is small and mighty, as I know I've referenced a few times. We unfortunately had to do some refining and reducing of headcount in the organization, not something that any of us wanted to do, but, we don't have an option in this regard. So what's the strength? The strength is the ability to make difficult decisions and then to implement those decisions and do what's right for the organization.
Now, what kind of help are your members looking to get, and Ensemble as a whole, from the government? I should say governments, because you are have strength in Canada and the U.S. And I know right now we're all waiting for that in the U.S. We're waiting for that next relief bill, which at this point doesn't look like it's going to come until next year, if before, not maybe not until after the presidential inauguration. And I'm also curious to know how this all differs from what Canada has provided to your members up there.
You know, I think that's a big question, and I'll try and give you a relatively abridged version of in terms of response. But I think suffice to say that what we're seeking, the entire sector, is financial and functional support. So what I mean by that is, and irrespective of the country, James, this sector has unquestionably been the hardest hit and on the largest of scales. Governments have to step in. They have to provide support. Sector-specific aid is imperative. We have, we've been grateful for the initial efforts and subsidies that have been provided, but these were very much a broad brush approach. They were intended to assist literally every sector of the economy. And we're now at a point where we have some nuances that are very different than other sectors of the economy. For instance, the lag to return in our industry is not like flipping a proverbial switch and travel returns the next day. Once that proverbial switch is flipped, it takes months, 3, 6, 9 plus months before revenues will return to agencies and to the suppliers involved in our industry. So we also need to see some form of regulatory improvement in some areas of the industry. So for instance, in certain jurisdictions in North America, in fact, there are only 4 that I'm aware of, there are trust accounting requirements and indeed regulatory requirements for how agency businesses operate. This is something that needs to be broadened. It needs to be across the nation, across the nations, and it's not a short-term solution for sure. I think in addition to lending support, governments also have to provide some subsidy assistance for rent, for wages, perhaps even for certain thresholds of operating expenses, at least until things can return. And that can only return once we have a confirmation of what the quarantine restriction changes will be and how those are standardized on a global basis. Only then can that actually allow us to go back to doing what it is we do, and that's promoting and selling travel. I've been, continue to be very active with both ASTA and ACTA, to lesser extents with CLIA and WTTC, but for all of those advocacy groups. They are working tirelessly, and I know how frustrating it is to be dealing with the bureaucracy and the politics. I don't know how they do it, but we continue to support each of these groups, and we meaningfully participate in each and every one of them, and that's not going to change.
Well, I know you've been very active with ASTA, and obviously they've been really lobbying hard to get that second round of relief, which unfortunately looks like it might not come till January at some point, if then. Have you been a bit happier with the situation up in Canada? Has Canadian politicians been a little more receptive to getting new rounds of relief up there?
I wish I could say yes, but the bureaucracy and the lip service that's paid is consistent. You know, they constantly state that they understand the challenge and they're addressing the challenge and they'll do everything possible to help us. But I've not yet seen the rubber hit the road on that. So we're still in active pursuit mode.
Yeah, well, we're waiting to see the rubber hit the road here in the United States, that's for sure, because we thought we might have a second round of relief by now, but again, it's sort of all into politics now and the size of the package, as well as the type of aid going out. One of the challenges with the CARES Act was it did its job to a certain extent, but a lot of that money didn't get to the right people. Even so, a lot did. But there were still some major agencies that didn't get anything. And that was one of the challenges that continues to be. Obviously, for independent contractors, they had access here in the U.S. to unemployment benefits, which was a great help. But the unemployment benefits are going to run out soon. And so I think they're going to have to do a new round of that. So it's kind of, we're just waiting here. Obviously, we are going to have a new administration here. We'll see if they are any more receptive and if our U.S. Congress is any more receptive to, but we'll see what happens. Now, I wanted to turn quickly to how will agency consortia and the co-op model, if they will survive this crisis, will we see more mergers of agency groups, do you believe? Or are the consortia and co-ops, by their very nature, really well-suited to help their agency members survive challenges like this?
Yeah, that's a great question, James. And I think, you know, again, like all others, we're only going to survive this if we can make the difficult decisions and then execute on delivery of, you know, enhanced value for both members and suppliers. Mergers and acquisitions are inevitable, I think more so at a time like this than others. However, from a consortia perspective, I can confirm that from our perspective, that's neither our focus nor our intent. It remains very clear to me and to many that agencies, advisors, and consortia will be absolutely essential as we resume and recover from the crisis. We've perhaps even at a level never before known. I think the value proposition will be very strong for consumers and for travel distribution. As I've said before, consortia provide efficiencies and bring scale that just isn't affordable on an individual agency basis. So I think our long-term viability and prognosis is very strong. And I'm not just optimistic, I'm confident in that, both for agencies and for consortia alike.
Well, let's hope that's the case. I know they're both your group and other groups and agencies in general have been really working hard and trying to get through this. And hopefully, you know, it's a lot longer than we all thought it was going to be. And certainly for certain segments of the business like cruising. And now we have new challenges, as we were talking before this conversation started, about new regulations and new rules introduced by CDC and states and quarantine and lockouts and, you know, lockdowns, I should say, not lockouts, lockdowns in Europe. It really is coming to a head right now in this second wave of the virus. So we'll try to get through this. Now, is there anything else you want to get out to Ensemble member agencies and obviously to the industry as a whole about Ensemble or even the status of travel agencies and travel advisors in general?
Yeah, again, appreciate the ask, James, and always enjoy chatting with you. I apologize if some of this is a little repetitious, but I think it's clear that, as we all know, that travel right now is on a bit of a pause. At least, you know, significant travel is on a pause. I think, however, that, as I've mentioned, that there's never going to be there's never been greater importance on the need for advisors, agencies, and travel. And you know, until we emerge from the pandemic, what we do know is that people want to travel. They need to travel. Travel is a global economic driver, and it will continue to be here to, we're going to be continuing to be here to assist our members and suppliers with the full range of our programs and services. We all need to travel, and we will again very soon, I'm sure.
Well, I echo that, and we all hope it's going to be sooner rather than later. But I do hope to see you live one of these days somewhere. I don't know, maybe we'll all be down for ASTA Legislative Day. That's the last time I think I saw you, which was back in, February sometime, right?
February the 7th.
There you go. I remember that well. Yeah. It seems so long ago. Anyway, David, I want to thank you for taking the time to tell us a little bit of what's going on with Ensemble. Talking a little bit about this virtual conference, and I'm so glad that was a success for you, and obviously some of the initiatives that are happening right now for Ensemble and its members. So thanks very much for spending some time with us.
Thank you, James. Much appreciated. Stay well.
I'm James Schillinglaw, and this is Insider Travel Report.